Katrina and Jamie and David and Fiona, they're all different, yet they all have a core faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because all of us here this morning are different, but we can only get a benefit from this service, from this message, from these baptisms, if we don't just take away that it was good for them, but that somehow it could be relevant to us. And so what I want to talk about is that common theme, that central aspect of what it's all about. If you spoke to a surgeon and you said to a surgeon, tell us about what's really important about a surgeon, and they said, well, I wear these green overalls. And that's true, but it's not the core thing of what a surgeon does. And we've got lots of external things here today to remember, but if we come away from the service not knowing what the most important thing is, then we will have missed the main thing. So turning to Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at the story of three people that were converted. A businesswoman, a prison officer, and a very religious person who had a completely transformed life. So this is the missionaries speaking, the missionaries who were going across Europe with a message about Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. They went into Macedonia. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. And on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, sometimes you get very dramatic stories of how people turn to God. But what we have here is a very quiet story. And this really encourages me as a quiet Highlander. And maybe perhaps some of you are quiet people. Perhaps the biggest stumbling block for you, as I said earlier in the service, is actually being public about what's going on the inside. And that's why I want you to take note of this Lady Lydia, because we don't know too much about her, but we know she was very wealthy, because, you know, the equivalent of selling Ferraris was the purple cloth. It was this really expensive product that she sold. And she was an immigrant to this area. She wasn't a Greek, but she was seeking after God. And what it says about her was that she intently listened. She kept on listening. And as she was listening, the Lord opened her heart, opened her mind to respond to the message. So you can come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ in a very quiet way. You don't have to tell everyone all your personal stuff. Because all that's recorded here is that she listened. She responded to the message. And we know that she has a changed life because she had a great big house. And she said, open house. And the new church met in her house. That was her gift to the new church. Now let's find out. She was the first person to join this church. Let's find out who else joined this church. Let's read on. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." And she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became disturbed, grieved, annoyed, it says here, but it's more like a deep disturbance in his spirit. And he turned round and said to the evil spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. And when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Now, we don't know for certain if this slave girl joined the church, but it's interesting that the story is sort of meat in the sandwich between two other stories about people turning to the Lord in Philippi. But what we do know is that she was oppressed. She was oppressed by slave owners. She was oppressed by an evil spirit. She had no identity of her own. She had no peace in her mind. She had a terrible life. And she was exploited. But Paul was deeply grieved and burdened for her, and he turned round and he commanded in the name of Jesus that that evil spirit would leave her, and immediately the spirit left. Jesus did that all the time, and Paul is now doing this in the name of Jesus. So what we see is that some people are in deep trouble. There are things controlling their life which are so powerful that they're trapped. They're captive to these things. And what we see here is that Jesus is able to set us free. And perhaps this morning you are in that situation. There's something that you're struggling with. And you've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And you just can't get free of it. Do you know that the person that was speaking, the preacher, he once said, "The things that I want to do, the things that I desire to do, I do not do. And the things that I don't want to do are the things that I keep on doing. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ has set me free." Jesus has the power to set us free. So that's the second story. So the crowd is really annoyed because the source of business has been removed. And then verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house. He set a meal before them. He was so filled with joy because he had come to know and believe in God, he and his whole household. So we have this very religious man, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And we know that he has this. He lived for himself, and now he's living for Jesus. That's what the cross does for us. The cross transforms us. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for Jesus. How do we know that's real? How do we know that's powerful? Because it's midnight. It's midnight. He's in the stocks. None of us really understand what it's like to be in prison 2,000 years ago. It wasn't like the prisons today. He's in the inner cell. It's pitch dark in there, and he's in stocks. He's not able to move. You know what it was like in lockdown when we just wanted to get out for the day and go for a nice walk, and they told us we had to stay indoors, and how difficult that was. Well, imagine if you were in the stocks for several days and you can't move and it's pitch dark. What do you do? You sing hymns to God. You sing hymns. Is that what you do when you're really grumpy? Is that what you do when you're really suffering? Is the first thing you do is to sing praise to God? Well, that is the transformed life. Sometimes to praise God really helps us to connect with who God is. And I use Spotify because I'm not a very good singer. And I love to listen to praise music like I did this morning, preparing for this service today. And after 15, 20 minutes, the atmosphere changes. My attitude changes. My mind is fixed. The mind that is filled with the Spirit is full of life and peace. And the Apostle Paul and Silas are in this terrible situation, but their mind is full of peace and joy, and all the other prisoners are intently listening, that they've got something that they want, peace of mind, joy in the heart, which is not dependent on circumstances. And now there's an earthquake, and the doors fly open, and the jailer knows that he's a goner. He's going to be executed if all the prisoners escape. So he just says, "Well, I'll just kill myself and get it over with." But no, no one has escaped. It's a most unusual scene. Paul is saying, "Don't worry about it." A non-anxious presence in an anxious world. Isn't it wonderful to have a non-anxious presence in an anxious world? Don't you want that? In this troubled world we live in, that we could be people of non-anxious anxiety and stillness? Well, that's what we have here. A Christian who is a non-anxious presence in the middle of an earthquake and a jailbreak. It's a great story, isn't it? And then the jailer, who's feeling really guilty because he had stripped them naked, he had beaten them up, and they're full of wounds. Just like when Jesus, before he was crucified, he was almost half dead with the beating he got. Paul and Silas, the guys that are singing hymns, have had the most severe beating by the jailer. And now the jailer's feeling guilty because he's thinking, these guys are the real deal. I'd heard about this way to be saved, and this way of salvation makes you still and peaceful in an earthquake. This way of salvation gives you a mind of life and peace in a time of great trauma and anxiety. What is this way of salvation? What must I do to be saved? Crystal clear, the answer comes back, which is the common thread through all of the testimonies today, which is the common thread through all the stories in Acts 16, which is the most important thing that we need to take away today. The way to be saved is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can a guilty sinner stand before a holy and just God? We can't. We deserve condemnation. That is the truth, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this jailer knew that he was a sinner, a guilty sinner. How could he be in relationship with a holy and just God? Because Jesus Christ bridges the gap. Because Jesus Christ connects us to that holy and just God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Many of you have heard that sentence before. But have you read on? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. As Katrina shared in her testimony, God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse. No, he will send his only Son to die on the cross, not a third party. God's Son dying in our place. God's Son. God was in Christ. That's why it's so powerful. It's the only way we can be saved, because it's only God's Son that can be that bridge. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only can unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. But I also, because I am a preacher who stands on the truth, not to be popular, not to necessarily tell you what you want to hear, but I want you to hear the truth. It also says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, not guilty, saved, in relationship with the holy God. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the one and only Son, that If God is holy and just, he has to punish Jesus Christ, his only son. Those who do not accept that gift will take the punishment themselves on the day of judgment. So think about an analogy. Two men in a boat coming down the river towards Niagara Falls. The boat capsizes, and both of them are desperate, desperate to be saved. And they both grab hold of a rope because the person on the shore is able to connect them with the shore, the safety of the shore with that rope. And the two of them are being pulled in. And one of them sees a log that's bigger than the rope. And they let go of the rope and they take hold of the log. And they go over the falls and they're lost forevermore. Because they have put their trust in the wrong thing. Because only the rope could connect them with the shore. And that is what these missionaries were saying to that jailer. There's only one way that you can be connected to a holy and just God. There's only one way that you can be forgiven of your sins and declared not guilty and brought into his loving fellowship. And that's by taking hold of the rope, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can save you. And I want you today to not only think about that, but I want you to take that as a loving warning, because I love you and I don't want you to be lost. And with all my heart, this is the truth. This is eternal truth. So turn to Jesus and be saved. Out of the depths, you can pray with Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you. Just like the jailer, out of the depths, I cry to you. Oh Lord, hear my voice. If you, Lord, should count iniquities, who could stand before a holy and just God? But with you there is forgiveness, because you have sent your Son, Jesus, to die for my sins on the cross. And I take hold of that rope and I put my trust in him. Let's pray. It's an opportunity for you to pray to God, accepting the gift of his Son, that you may be forgiven and saved. First of all, to acknowledge that you are a sinner like me, in need of forgiveness, in need of rescue. And then to put your trust in the crucified one, Jesus Christ, our only hope. And then to ask him to come in to your life and change you. So if you want to pray this prayer, it's entirely up to you. But on the 25th of September, 2022, you have an opportunity to be saved. Let's pray. Lord, I admit that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. I'm sorry for my sin, and I turn away from everything that I know to be wrong. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, into this world and to die on the cross for my sins. I receive your forgiveness. I take hold of the rope. I trust in his death and resurrection. And now I ask that you would come into my life and change me. I may no longer live for myself, but to live a life of love in service to you. I know I can't do this on my own. I need you, Lord. I need you. Come in now by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.